Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official PodNuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 258.
Woohoo!
Yeah, big number. Getting there.
You're getting there.
Jason is joining us from lilgeekshop.something. I don't want to say com.
It's com. .com or .net. Remember, we had the discussion last time where we were picking fun at each other.
Yeah, I remember. I seem to always end up messing up the suffix, so thanks for clearing me up on that.
It's fine. It won't worry about it.
All right, lilgeekshop.net, and that's your computer repair business website. Is that right?
Correct, it is.
And we talked about this a little bit before the show. Jason has some very cool stuff. In fact, he said he had a ton of stuff. And also, he said he had a major meltdown-type situation happening, right?
Oh, don't get me started on this one. For everyone that's using a Windows Home server, probably, I don't know, many of the technicians might have found this. It was a sneaky little bug to get at. Plus, we have updates on TSMan on the product release, and we got a giveaway to give away. Of course, it's a giveaway. And all this to come, plus more news right after these commercial breaks.
Spoken like a true DJ. You guys must know that he's been in radio before. And if you didn't, wow, that just gave it away right there. Nice. All right, well, I'm going to let you take it away, man. You have the reins right now. What do you want to go over?
Okay, tips, tricks, and strategies for the new business and regular business owner right now. Of course, everyone knows that today's economic times are kind of tough, and everyone's trying to get ahead in the game and try to come up with new ideas, new ways of figuring out how to get in more money. Well, I got some tips and tricks for you. Basically, let's start off with number one, early start on your stock, period. End of discussion. You know that Christmas time is coming up, Thanksgiving holidays, and everyone is trying to work in a budget where they can slowly get little nips and stuff here and there for the kids or the adult kid in mind, aka Steve. I'm not going to mention no names. Now, yeah, you know.
Totally.
But the best way to do it is get your stock ready. What should you stock? Well, of course, it's El Cheapo time. Everyone's not going to go out and buy that brand new $400, $500 iPad for somebody because they have to stretch their budget. So try some cute little cool electronic toys and gadgets here and there that you can get from China, something cheap, like an MP4 player.
You're talking about stocking this in your computer repair shop.
Correct. I mean, you have to have it on stock. Otherwise, people wouldn't want to wait because people are impatient these days. They want to have that physically in their hands and they want to take it home and hide it.
And you're saying, so when somebody brings their computer into you, say, oh, by the way, type of deal? Correct.
Always. You know, never pass out a sale. If you pass up a sale, you might as well not want their money very much, do you?
I guess you could say that.
I mean, I'm sorry. My philosophy in business, period, is that if you're talking to somebody, the money in their pocket is yours. You just got to figure out how to talk them out of it.
Are you serious?
Yes, that is my philosophy.
You mean in life or just when you're in your shop?
In life, period.
Oh, gosh. I hope I don't meet you on the street.
Why, Steve? Do you want something? I got it if you need it. Well, what do you need?
Okay, if you put it that way, that sounds a little better.
Okay, well, what do you need?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me think. You want to know what I need?
I'm not going to pass up an opportunity for money, even on your podcast.
Yeah, you got a good point there. I'll let you know by the end what I really need. I don't need much these days.
Fair enough. Anyway, another thing for the people that isn't thinking about this, try maybe a layaway. You never know. I mean, Walmart used to have it. Kmart used to have it, but they all went out and stopped doing that now. So why don't you pick up the reins a little bit? I mean, you keep the items, but they put down a deposit and they keep on going for it until they get the actual thing they want. So why not try a layaway? Because it's tough times. People don't have the money instantaneously to go buy something. If you're going to use computer, try a layaway plan. I mean, you're not missing out any money, correct?
That's a good point. Yeah, not missing out any money. Well, I mean, Would you have to stock that item? I guess you'd have to have it in stock.
Oh, yeah, but if you have, if they're putting a layaway plan on it, you can go ahead and sell the ones you have in stock and order some a little bit later,
right?
They pay off the layaway terms.
Sure.
So you're not missing anything.
Hmm. How do you suggest people like present these things?
Well, today's times, everything do it in legal terms. I mean, there's several little documents on the web that you can download. I mean, even off your website, there's legal documents that you can download, which I did buy a copy of from some person. I'm not quite sure. You said
Technible.
Yep, that's it. I went and bought that package from them.
Good.
And so far, it's worked out real nice for me.
Oh, good. But I mean, you know, upselling things or adding extra things to the service and selling them, how would you word it? If you wanted somebody on layaway, they come in with their computer. They're not thinking about, first of all, they're not thinking about buying an MP4 player or anything, probably. They want you to fix their computer. So just tell me in your words how you would get them on layaway or how you would sell them an MP4 player.
First, you always look at the person because, like I said, money, they have your money. You just got to figure out how to talk them out of it. So the real thing is you look at the person. If they're an older person, you try to sell them something where they're not really worried about much of anything because their computer is new to them. You have to sell them software that makes everything automated where it's easier for them to do. They ain't got to worry about no viruses, no automatic scanning, no updates because you're trying to make it as easy as possible for them to use. If they're a person, you can tell if they're a parent or not. So you figure out, okay, they got kids. They're wanting to buy some different anti-spyware and antivirus. So you try to sell them that software. You try to sell them, hey, we got game players. How would you like to have this for your kids or blah, blah, blah. Right. You just read the person. You have to really look at your customers. You've got to figure out what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. You can tell if somebody's a little bit pushing for money because they try to come down off your tech price. My God, come on.
Right, right.
You have to read the person. I mean, it's a socialism vector.
You should probably put these things out in view, right?
Correct. Always. You always have a display up on your counter. Print out the latest deals, little stuff where they sit their computer at, where they physically interact with it. Always. People are sometimes stupid, and they need it point blank in their face, and sometimes they still miss it.
Right.
Right. So,
I'll tell you what. The thing that was most visible in my shop was other people's computers. I didn't really sell anything aside from that. But when people would come in and see other people's laptops there for the other customers to pick up, and they would always ask me if I have used laptops for sale. So I would suggest investing in a couple laptops.
That's a funny fact right there because I have a million and one people that come in, look at them same laptops on my shelf and says, is any one of those for sale? And I'm like, no, they're the customer's computer. Exactly. And they try to talk me out of it.
That's great.
Can I buy them? No. Well, don't you have a pastime thing where they stay on the shelf for 60, 90 days and then you can sell them? I said, really? Yes, but don't get your breath up.
All right. Come on. Right.
I have them try to talk me out of them. It's sad.
That's pretty funny.
Another idea, marketing brainstorm. Sit down with your wife, sit down with whoever you have, find a small idea, a giveaway, a contest, a raffle, some small cheap product that you can raffle off or something, some little stuff that earns you money. Don't worry too much about the money, but worry too much about how much of an impact will it have on your business to make people recognize, hey, I'm here and I do this.
Right.
It's more marketing structure, but do a brainstorm, do a giveaway, some small little idea. Also, when people come in your shop, what I've done is I built out of 2x4s and some 3/4-inch plywood, a demo kiosk. Not only does it serve, it's has Windows Media Center Edition, Windows 7 installed, but it runs completely Windows Media Center Edition.
What is it? What do you mean?
Yeah, Windows Media Center. Have you heard of Windows Media Center?
No, I mean, what is your kiosk? What is this? I mean, like,
it's a computer. Okay. It's an actual computer hooked up to a 24-inch regular computer monitor.
Okay.
That's hanging, you know, right there on the support beams on the back. It looks like an entertainment system,
right.
Seriously.
Right.
And all it does is run Windows Media Center Edition. And I have a remote for it. Okay. It has a Nintendo emulator station built into the Windows Media Center Edition, which the name of the software that goes along with it is Game EX.
Is it legal?
Yes, it is legal.
Okay.
The software is legal. The ROMs, however you acquire them, is legal up to the extent of do you own the game.
Right.
But I have it where I have my games installed in there, and you have several choices of playing Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or Sega Genesis. I even have it set up where you can play your PlayStation games,
right,
where you can stick physically your PlayStation disc in and play the game, wow, all through Windows Media Center. So the reason why I do this is because most people do not know the potential of their computer system.
Right.
And if they see that you can hook it up to a big screen HDMI TV and everything else, then they're all down for it quickly.
Wow, that's a great idea. Do a demo media center.
Correct. So
beautiful idea.
I have a TV card built into it, so and I have my cable television plugged into it, so I receive all the cable TV all in my shop through the media center demo, and they absolutely go goo-goo for it.
And do you sell the whole package, including the screen, or how do you do it?
I can. I just made the demo kiosk. Sometimes their computer is more, it's stable enough to run Windows Media Center, where it has the Windows 7 Home Premium or whatever they have in there. And the only thing I've got to do is just order a couple of cards and fit it in, and boom, they're up and running.
Right. That's very cool.
But I do have the remote controls in stock built for Windows 7 Media Center. So they buy the Windows Media Center remote from me. They buy the TV tuner card from me. They buy all the additional little software they need from me. And boom, they're fully up and running and plugged into their HDMI TV.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you don't actually sell them the computer. You just sell them the parts to make their computer into a media center, or you do both?
If their computer cannot do it, because that's the first thing out of their mouth, is, can my computer do that?
Right.
And I say, bring it on in. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, once they bring me their computer, I've already earned $20 for their diagnostic fee, because I'm checking their computer, getting everything ready. If it can't, I offer them a suggestion. I can build you one that can, or they take their computer on the way. And usually if I have their computer in the stock, they say, go ahead and run through it and see if it's okay.
All right.
So either of the way, I've already got a computer that they might not have brought in to begin with, and I've already got their trust, their service fee, and I've already got it where, hey, I might have a future customer later down the road when they want that.
Right. Neat. I see where you're going with your shop here. You kind of just put everything out there.
Exactly. If you don't demonstrate it and let people see what you can do and see all the latest stuff, then what's the point of them having a computer? Because some people want the latest stuff. They don't even realize that they can do this stuff with their computer.
Right.
So you have to put it to them point blank in their face. Yes, this does this, and yours can too. Is that a computer? Yes, it is.
Very
so
neat.
There's one. Also, I was listening to one of your podcasts a little bit later, and I heard this guy say that how he started with his business, where he went to these major companies like accounting offices, and those people that worked there referenced him word of mouth to get him business by going to these accounting offices.
Right.
I remembered that, and there's not only just big businesses. If you can get in, talk with managers, crew leaders, anybody that referenced as a quote unquote boss of people,
okay,
you would trust their word because they are the boss, quote unquote, over you.
Right.
Try to get in with them as well. Also, another thing that you might want to consider is if you're in Walmart, which you go to, and you own a business, or go to these electronic stores and you see people in Walmart or Kmart or any electronic section, and they have this lost look on their face, which a lot of people do, going like, I don't know if this is the right ink or for my printer or this right here. Go up to them and help them. Kindly, friendly words. And the number one, they'll ask you, oh, you work here. And you say, no, I own a little geek shop, or, you know, your computer company, and I do this and this for people. And You look like you need a little bit of help. Let me help you. You've already gained a customer right there because you took some time out of your way to help them, and then they'll come to you later down the road.
You well, how know. Do you end the conversation with them? I mean, how would you, and your, I want to know your exact wording here, and your, you know, because you seem like you're good with people. Some guys out there aren't. They might not be, even, they might even be afraid to just approach people. So you see a guy in Walmart, you know, looking at ink, and you help him out. What do you say to him to, like, turn him into a customer?
Basically, be a human being. They're lost. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out, you know, what goes with the computer. You ask them, you pretend like that customer's in your shop. You help them that much.
Right.
That's what you do every day. If you're trying to get a customer, imagine they're already in your shop and have their wallet out, period. If you don't, you're going to lose people.
Right. That's a good point. What do you, now do you carry business cards and give them out to these?
Always.
Dumb question, hey?
Carrying a bit. Okay, not having a business card on hand is kind of like not saying I want your money, all right?
All right.
Come on. You always have business cards. If you don't put up, learn to take up sewing to, you know, create a little pocket in your jeans for business cards, okay? Something. Have it tattooed on your arm so they don't forget it. I mean, something.
Right.
But that's the number one thing. Always, if you see an opportunity, go for it. You're not going to make it in this world if you keep on leaving opportunities behind, period.
Right.
So always, always think ahead of the game. If you don't, other people are doing it way ahead of you, and they're going to get the business. You're not.
Right. Good point.
So just imagine in this world, I know some people, some techs, I know I have did it, and I've had to coach myself out of the attitude. Once, in the beginning, I was all for it, gung-ho, stuck to my business strategy ways. And then a little bit later, after a year or two, you get in this depressed stage of, I'm doing all these computers. You're in the four walls tunnel vision stage where that's all you are. Right. You're another cubicle. Everyone wants you to do something. Don't think of it that way. Think of it as everyone wants to give you money. Don't think of it as the stupid customer did this again, and I've told them not to. Don't treat them as a child. Treat them as a person that loves to spend money with you. Okay, just keep on going. Do what you do. Don't get discouraged. Get a positive attitude again. Get back up on your feet and just go with it. I know the four walls are closing in, but if the four walls, take a vacation. Take some time to yourself if that is getting that route.
All right. Are you there by yourself, or do you have employees?
I have employees. I have two.
Two? Do you do a lot of the work of actually fixing computers still, or do they do most of the work?
Half and half. I try to schedule it on a budget based, and I'm slowly still teaching them.
I see. What's your goal with that? Do you want to phase out of actually doing the work, or and for focus on business, or what?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's one of those things of you really don't know.
Right.
I do and I don't. I would love to, but then again, I won't.
Right. Cause no, I'm asking you because you're bringing up great points here, and I could see how somebody could get into the tunnel vision thing where if they keep having computer after computer come in and they're just fixing them and that's all they're doing, then yeah, they're just going to be fixing computers. And some people might want that, but I agree with you. If you got to remove yourself from the situation a little while or the part of the day, really look at what's going on here and look at, like, if you did hire somebody, how much more you can expand and you know, think clearer, have better ideas. So I'm just trying to add into your inspirational talk here.
But also, I don't want to go along with the same philosophy of if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So if you do not keep up and do what your employees do, how are you supposed to coach them of, you know, the next go round? I mean, there's new stuff coming out every single day. There's new viruses. If you don't stay up to the game as well, then you're going to lose it.
Right. Gotcha.
So it's one of those things of I do, I don't. If I don't, I don't want to ask somebody to do something I wouldn't do myself.
Right.
Here we go. Easy way, work smarter, not harder. You've ever heard of that saying before?
Yeah, that's like my mantra.
Well, most people still don't go to that mantra. the way I did my business and everything, most people do one of those things of, what's the word I'm looking for? Basic OS install, where you start from the ground up, you have your basic OEM copy, and from there you install, you know, all the add-ons like your Flash or Media Center. I mean, not Media Center, sorry, Flash or Java, your virus protection, all that other stuff, right?
Right.
What about if you just work smarter, not harder? There's several software that's available out there right now where you can modify, remaster your OS, where you can install all your drivers and all your programs all on one disk. Also, there's ways where you can automate it, where if you're not doing a format and reinstall, FNR, as we technicians put it, F it and reinstall, you can go ahead and try Nynite. You've mentioned it before in your podcast. Nynite lets you install all your add-ons with one click. You can download all your updates and everything to a flash drive, and or your virus removal stuff like Portable Ants, like I mentioned before, last podcast that we did. But there's several ways that you can minimize your time on one computer at a time, like a KVM switch. Most people do have a KVM switch, but they really don't use it. Let's just say you have four computers. Most of them, most repair places and repair technicians use one or two places on the KVM switch and ignore the three and four. Yeah. What if you could just put all four computers up there and run down the row? It's not hard.
No, that's definitely something that they should do.
But most people don't do it because they think they'll be overwhelmed. It's not overwhelming. Trust me.
Right.
Once you know there, 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 and there, go down. You're just starting to scan on that one, move to the next one.
Absolutely.
By the fourth one, the first one's going to be done with the first scan.
Right.
So work your time, schedule it out, plan it, brainstorm it, figure out a way to make things simpler.
Jason, do you reinstalls, or do you copy images onto hard drives? How do you do it? So some guys just prepare an image and then they install that image. When I was in my shop, I actually did the actual reinstall itself, but I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I use the ISO. I mean, the actual disk itself.
Okay.
Because if I did an image of a Kronos and all that other stuff, it would be more beneficial to do it that way. And then, I don't know. It's one of those things of it's to each technician's preference.
Right. Right.
I'm old school. I've been around since BBSs, bulletin board services. Probably no one's even heard of them.
I heard them
before the internet was born. You had bulletin board services where you called up your neighbor's computer through a dial-up. Okay,
right.
I was there when 14.4 was the fastest internet speed. Okay, I've been around for a little while.
I remember 9600 baud.
I remember programming in regular BASIC on an Apple IIce, okay?
Nice.
Okay, I was there when the Atom was born. We thought it was the best.
The Atom.
No, nobody knows this stuff.
That's great.
You don't understand when you think of those times and these days now, how computers came this far. It's like, wow, mind-blowing.
It's amazing. I appreciate it, but I still don't settle for anything less than like great internet connections and great internet speeds.
I'm sorry if I went to dial up right now. I'm even three up with DSL when I go to work on other people's computers and downloading at about 36 kilobytes a second. I'm like,
strangle me.
Yeah. So I definitely admit that. I'm sorry. I could not. Downward spiral, I have to upward go.
Yeah, we're spoiled. It's good.
Keep moving forward. That's all I got to say.
Yes.
So, but one thing when it comes to computer technicians and everything, you're limited at what you do because of your thought pattern, period. You have to learn how to work outside the box. Most computer technicians and computer companies focus on one specialized thing. You do repair work, or you do website design, or you do networking. That's all your computer company consists of. Here, you're not really wanting money, do you, people? Okay? Think outside the box.
Like what?
Okay. Video surveillance. you don't realize how big of a freaking market this is today. Okay.
Right.
You can build a video surveillance computer right off the bat because you don't have to buy the box. You can build one for yourself right now.
Right.
You can sell these systems for about $1,500 a piece right off the bat right now.
Yeah, but then you're going to got to go install and get up on ladders and crap like that. How do you handle all that stuff?
Most of the time, people already have that installed and run the wires when they have a building or with the wire itself. It's not very hard because if you're doing it for businesses, they have that little ceiling thing where you push the square off and just throw the wire and push another square and there you go.
How do you sell that? How do you incorporate that into your sale?
That's a piece of cake. I have right now about 6 clients that I installed their video surveillance, including crystals here, a bunch of the businesses. Basically, all I do is I look at their video cameras and I say, what kind of security surveillance you're running right here? And they say this, this, and this, and come look. And once they find out I'm the computer guy, they say, come back and look. I said, oh, my God, this is bad. You're not running that much. It's not upgradable. You can't add more memory. You can't add more cameras.
Right.
You're stuck with what you got for years. And they're going, you can do better? I said, yeah, I can build you one out of a computer where it's upgradable. So if you want to add more cameras, all I got to do is buy another card, stick it in, and you plug in more cameras. And they love the idea of that.
Wow. Now, where do you get the cameras and the equipment? What brands do you like?
Oh, you can get them all over the internet. Usually the cards, you can buy them cheap off China. Instead of buying one that's about $500-$600, you can buy a Chinese version for about $100.
Wow.
The cameras, you can get on links all over Google to search down the right cameras. It all depends on what environment it's going to be in. QC is a pretty good name brand. That I've used a lot of QC products, but basically it's up to your preference. Look at the specs, see what night vision, how many feet of night vision does it see.
Okay.
You get the idea.
And what do you install? PCI card, right?
Yes. Correct.
What do they usually have, like 4 inputs on it?
Yes. You can get the 4, 8, 4, 8. And 16.
On one card?
Yes, on one card. 16 channel on one card, yes.
How does that all fit? Whether the back plate's just huge?
No, the back plate is not huge. It looks like 2 video VGA connectors, and on the connectors it has 8
gotcha.
BNC cables apiece.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's how that works.
Wow, great idea. And they're easy to install, huh?
A piece of cake. Usually the video cards comes with its own software for video surveillance, so you ain't got to worry about nothing. Install it, run with it. Most of it's OEM branded, so you can put your own little company logo with it. So every time they start up, it has little Geek Shop or your company and the program itself.
Nice.
Also, another thing, try home theater, the same way what I did with the kiosk, set that up. Also, game console repair. I've been having great success with that. If you don't want to repair them yourself, there's several out there right now that you ship it off, they repair it for you and ship it back. And the only thing you've got to worry about is handling the shipping, keeping track of it, and collecting the money.
Who do you do? Who do you use? If you'd want to tell us, you don't have to tell.
I use 360 Repair Kings. They're out of Alabama. They're near me, so I can get the console back in a day or two. You can check them out at 360repairkings.com.
Do you ship it? Do you ship it to them, or you take them out to them?
I ship it to them.
And you make money off of that?
Yes.
Good. Good.
I got a deal worked out with them since I'm a repair company where they give me a discount for me, you know, mass shipping stuff to them, and they send it back to me.
How many video game repairs do you get a month?
A month? Usually about... I'd say about 15, 16.
Cool. How do people, that's good. How do people know you do that?
By word of mouth. Once you repair one, the gamer community actually sticks together. You'd be surprised. Word of mouth over Xbox Live, you'll be surprised.
Wow.
Also, another thing that most people don't realize, why not go all out? Think of something computer-based. How about point of sale? Nobody thinks of a point of sale system.
Right. They just seem like such a pain in the butt. That's probably why.
Wrong answer.
I know. I'm just saying that's, I'm thinking that's what people think. That's all.
That's why you should think outside the box before you don't diss it until you try it. Remember right. that word.
All right.
Point of sale systems. There's free stuff all over the web. The only thing that would be a hassle is trying to get the right, finding cheap printers to work with.
What do you mean free stuff?
Free stuff. Open source community.
Oh, for the software part.
Correct. There is a thing called Open Bravo.
Okay.
That point of sale that's free, 100% free. It's Java based and it's free. You can customize it to how you want it. Also, there's another point of sale system out there for specifically for restaurants called Florent or Florent POS. I'm not quite sure. You have to Google it. I ain't got the link for it. But it's specifically made for restaurants. So you get to and install that into a point of sale for cashiers and waitresses, I'm sorry, for them. So don't be closed-minded. There's several money-making opportunities out there that you can still do. It's not hard.
That's great. I mean, I've repaired a few point-of-sale systems. Most of them have touchscreens. What do you recommend for touchscreens?
Touchscreens, for the point-of-sale, I would suggest the ELO. E-L-O.
Okay.
Point-of-sale. Touchscreens, 15-inch monitor. The last price I saw was $160 for a touchscreen ELO.
That ain't bad. And they just plug in through USB. I mean, that's a piece of cake.
I know. And it works with Windows 7 now. So they've updated the driver pack. So all ELO devices will work through Windows 7.
I know of people doing point-of-sale systems charging like $15,000. I mean, that's a great market to get into. I mean, you're especially if you're on a. I mean, if you have a shop, you're probably around other businesses in your area. I mean, they're right down the street. All you just walk down and just count the customers practically.
Quick, hello.
Yep.
So you'd be surprised. So it's one of those things of don't knock it until you try it.
Right.
Please think outside the box. This is your money. Where's your money at? Where is it going without you?
Well, according to you, all our money is in other people's pockets.
Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle that? Are you offended?
Just kidding with you.
How mad are you at? I mean, if you're mad, then you'll take it to a level where, hey, I need to get my money back.
That's great.
So what are you going to do? I'll take your money. Come on. If you don't want it, I'll be glad to take it. I got PayPal, I got Visa, I accept check, money order. Come on.
I've got to admit, it's an interesting viewpoint. It puts making money into a whole new perspective.
If you don't think on certain levels, then how can you up your game? How can you make that new strategy plan?
Right.
If you just think of there's money out there, but it's not coming in my shop. Hello, money isn't supposed to walk through your doors. You're supposed to go out there and talk the money in your doors.
I love how you word stuff.
I mean, it's point blank fact. I mean, nothing's going to show up in your shop unless you put them there.
Yeah.
Something that you do has put those people in your shop.
Right. So what do you do to get people in?
Mostly word of mouth right now. A couple of ads here and there.
Ads where?
In our little Cockwit Shopper, stuff like that. Where the reason why I choose Cockwit Shopper is because it's kind of like a little free ad. It's a shopper where most people look at and try to find free stuff given away or cheap deals. So I just throw my ad in that.
Do you do any online advertising?
I don't need to.
Okay, good.
Seriously, I mean, I'm a favorite place on Google Maps. I mean, people, the way I do things with advertising is I have a Facebook page, I have a Twitter page, I have a MySpace page. Everything is linked up. Everything that I have out there right now is linked to me. Even down to me doing this podcast, this is free advertising. Most of you computer technicians don't know. I've did so many websites for other computer companies because of your podcast.
Really?
Yes. People has come to my website, looked at it and says, can you do this for me? Or I use TSMan, but I'm not set up like you. Right. Can you, can you come out to my business and set me up on TSMan like your shop is?
Wow. So you're saying I should charge you for doing this show?
Yes, but also I'm giving you information. So
Jason, I'm just kidding with you, man. You have my money in your pocket. I'm taking it.
Very nice.
Just kidding.
Very nice. Even though I did buy a couple of things through your linkage.
No, I'm just kidding with you. I appreciate every guest that comes on the show. Are you kidding? This is great. Great information. I think that business information is very welcome on the show, because that's something that a lot of technicians are weak in, because, well, they're techs, and that's what they do, and that's what they know. So any business tips are great. I'm just kidding with you. I truly appreciate you coming on the show.
Come on.
All right.
Come on. Also, another thing I'd like to mention, for all the people out there, we're having, Little Geek Shop is having a giveaway, thanks to Mr. Podnut, Steve-O. We have two products we are giving away. You can sign up right now. We're giving away a free copy of TS Man 2009, thanks to Blantsoff and Costell, the main head guy over there. Yes, a brand new free copy of TS Man 2009, and also a free copy of Super Anti-Spyware, thanks to the big guy over at superantispyware.com.
Jason, tell, this is a great giveaway, but just tell people who don't know what TS Man is.
TS Man is a point of sale. TS Man is a computer repair shop software built for Windows computers. It will manage, it will schedule, it will do everything that your repair shop needs, for even down to shop inventory and sales and work orders. So if you don't know what it is, go to blantsoft.com, or you can go to my website and there's links there, or you can go to the giveaway page and there's links to there too, to read up more on it. The giveaway is littlegeekshop.net. That's LILGEEK shop, SHOP.net /giveaway. Go there, register today. Not register. Sorry. There I go again.
Sign up. Enter today.
Enter today for your free chance. It will go until August 16th, 2010. That is when we pick two lucky winners for each individual software, and we will notify you by email or call you. It all depends on if you leave your phone number there. All information will not be given away or raffled away, because I don't believe in spam. I hate them little pain in the butt censored. Okay, people. I know, right? Get enough of it through email. But the drawing will end 16th, and the winners will be announced on that website, and we will notify you by email.
This is great. Of course, we love Super Anti-Spyware. And both of these companies have greatly improved their site. I mean, TS Man looks incredible now. I checked it out about a year ago, and it was not like this. They're really coming a long way, and it looks like it pretty much handles everything you need to for computer repair businesses.
Oh, yes. And also, I was going to, in the show notes, I was going to mail to you. I was going to do a demo, but we're not doing video. So I'm going to send a link with the show notes so you can put them up. A link to the brand new TS Man 2010 edition inventory preview, or the inventory module where you will be able to keep track of vendors and all that other good stuff, and which includes your bank account information and all that other good stuff. Yeah. But the new release of TS Man 2010 will be September 2010.
Wow.
Yay. Okay. I said it. That's September 2010.
This is classified information.
This is classified information that has been passed down, and he has gave me permission, bite his tongue, to tell everyone that the release will be September 2010.
That's great news. It's not too far away.
No, it won't, and it will have a lot of beautiful little stuff added to it, even down to on-site synchronization, where people will be able to synchronize their database with the home, you know, the store database when you do on-sites and updating, you know, customers' information on-site, where you can bring it back and update it there.
Awesome.
It'll also have on-site scheduling, where people, your company can schedule your employees to do an on-site for there and tell them. It'll have a lot of nice little neat features. Thanks to the community for everyone giving their feedback in and telling people that they would like to see this and the new versions and all that other stuff.
This looks great. This has come a long way. I'm looking at it now. This looks great.
So you'll be very surprised at what is in store. You'll see it September 2010. Not telling you beginning or end. We don't know, but bite your tongue.
Okay.
Also, a new virus alert for all you technicians out there that compromised my home server. This is something we discussed, me and Steve-O here, before the podcast and the recording. Beware if you have a flash drive. Oh, my goodness.
Beware.
You will not be able to recognize it until I didn't think of much about it, because when you plug it in portable amps, there's an auto execution type thing or auto run file that puts the icon beside the drive. And I noticed the icon had changed into a folder, kind of like a, more like a eye candy type regular folder, except it was more blingier. But when I tried to double click on it and to open up the file, I mean, open up the, you know, the drive itself to see the contents inside, it wouldn't let me. And instead, I was presented with a thing that says, would you, firewall thing saying, would you like to unblock Explorer? And I'm thinking, hold on, wait a minute. Unblock Explorer to open up a flash drive? What's going on?
Huh. What operating system?
Windows.
No, I mean, which version?
All of them.
Okay.
I've tested it on all of them.
Okay.
And come to find out, as soon as I did virus scans and everything else, it came up with about 36 viruses. And there was no way that I could not figure out where it was coming from, how it was coming from. It opened up a whole new can of whoop butt.
And where did you get it?
I have no earthly idea. That is the thing.
And so it happens when you put your flash drive in?
Apparently it was on my flash drive, because the only way to get rid of it was FNR it, format and reinstall the flash drive. I mean, reinstall the applications on my flash drive. It's just something hidden, where it's a hidden file in your recycle bin on the flash drive. It's a hidden recycle bin folder on the flash drive that has the actual virus on it.
And when you plug it into your system, is your system totally compromised now? Do you have to do a reinstall, or is it just you just had to wipe your flash drive?
I have to wipe my flash drive.
This could be worse, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't double click on it to open it up, you're fine. Just wipe it.
I see.
But the only key signs that I did notice is that the icon changed beside the flash drive. It was no longer my portable amps icon.
Right.
It was a folder icon.
A blingy folder icon.
Yeah, it's still yellow. It still looks like the same folder, but it was kind of like little, like the light reflecting off of it a little bit better. You understand?
Yeah, interesting.
But
so when you plug this into your main bench computer, or no, your media center computer, you said that's when you saw it popped up. Yes. These messages. Now, what kind of antivirus software are you running on your media center computer?
I'm running Avast, and it did catch it.
It did.
After it unblocked it, yes, it did catch it, but not in time, because I was not accessing the drive until I double-clicked on it to open up the folder contents. You understand?
I see.
So I didn't do a scan on that flash drive before I opened up the folder contents.
Right.
So therefore, when I double-clicked on it to open it up, it actually started the executable itself, the virus executable.
I see.
Yeah, so be careful about what you open up and everything, because I've noticed another thing. Viruses have gotten very, very bad here lately. Right. I've got a ton of business. Also, another thing to beware of, if you're having a little tip and trick here, if you're having trouble trying to get on the internet, when you get a computer in that they say they have no internet connectivity, in Internet Explorer, open up Internet, go to Tools, open up Internet Options, and make sure your proxy settings is unchecked, because the latest viruses and spyware is checking the proxy settings and making it where it's trying to go through a proxy instead of regular DHCP defaults.
Wow. That's pretty sneaky.
So be careful on that one. Make sure every time you get a computer that does not have an internet connection, do that. Check for proxies.
Interesting. That's a great tip. I bet people are going to be running into that a lot. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, because the latest viruses, the latest spyware is doing that crap.
Right.
So that's the number one tip of the day, definitely.
Cool. You got anything else?
That about does it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Hopefully.
No problem.
Answer some email. Answer some email.
No, I was going to. That's why I was asking you.
Give me a challenge. Come on.
All right. We got about 5 emails here. This one's from. Yeah.
I said run with it. Go for it.
All right. Thanks. Every time I do a show with Jason, I feel like I'm not the host anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I'm not like that. It's just the way you present things. Here we go. This is from Nick. He says, "Hey, Steve, I'm a local photographer and a computer geek in a small town of Vermont. I want to share a story with you. A customer that I helped fix their system a few times was moving and said they wanted to get rid of their system because they're going to be buying a new computer and asked if I wanted it. So I said, why not? I'll take a free computer. They said it didn't work. When I got it, I plugged it in, hooked up a monitor, keyboard, etc., and pressed the power button. The power LED lit up, and that was it. Nothing on the screen. I checked my connections first. Everything was good. So I decided to take off the side panel, and it was so packed with dust bunnies, animal hair, and just smelled like cigarette smoke and perfume. I took it out in our garage, and I used an air compressor. Well, first I grabbed a dust mask because I knew it was going to be bad. Of course, I was doing this outside when I put the air to it. It was like an atom bomb of dust that came out. It went higher than our garage. Now, I think this is a typo here, but this is what he says. It went higher than our garage, which is over 100 feet tall. I'm guessing that's 10, right? Can't be 100.
You never know.
It went over our garage, which is over 100 feet tall, and I could not believe how much dust was in this computer case. After cleaning it and making sure all the connections were secured, I hooked it all back up, and sure enough, it booted right up, and I reformatted the hard drive, installed Windows on it, and had a free, good working machine that I could give to somebody or something. I think the CPU fan was so plugged that it didn't spin, and I think the motherboard knew that the fan wasn't spinning and told everything not to start up so the CPU wouldn't overheat. That's what I was thinking anyway, but it really could have been anything. It was something totally to do with the fact that there was so much dust in the case. I just wanted to say that people should really keep their systems clean. They will last a lot longer. Twice a month, I take my computer out in the garage. I give it a blast of air and clean it up. Check all the connections to make sure they're secure. This is something I do with every machine I get to repair. Well, I have to say this is one of my favorite stories to get to tell other computer techs. I also tell people not to smoke around their computers either. It's not good for your health, and it's not good for the health of the computer either. It's just sad what people do to their computers. Best regards, Nick.
This is true. Actually, when it comes to the majority of BIOS settings, there's a safety protocol in there where if it does not detect a CPU fan, or if the CPU fan is not spinning, it will automatically not turn on or shut off within a couple of seconds.
Right. Yeah, that has to be it. I mean, if you blow in the dust out of it, cause it to start, one would think it's because of the fan not spinning. But, I mean, that dust could have been blocking so many things. You never know.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Most importantly, keep your computers clean. It's true. I'm kind of a stickler for this. I mean, I clean out my computers all the time. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see visible dust blocking a vent or something, I go, okay, it's time to clean this baby. You know,
Also, keep your computer at least a foot off the ground, because that's where dust hovers. And when you have all those computer parts and those fans sucking that dust in to keep your computers cool, make sure you always tell your customers that. Keep it a foot off the ground. God's sake, please do that.
That's a good tip. I didn't even do that.
Yeah, because dust hovers because of stomping vibration. Dust will actually hover about a foot off the ground, and those fans will suck it right in every time.
Great tip. Laptops too, guys. You might not see the dust, but dust is worse, I think, in laptops than desktops, because for number one, you can't see it. Number two, it's the dust doesn't have to cover such a large area in a laptop to be damaging. It just has to cover the vent right where your heat sink is, and block that, and then you're kind of screwed. So
I've pulled off carpets, and I've had to open up laptops and pull off carpets of dust inside where at that heat sink.
Yep. It's a huge blockage.
Yes.
Now, one would go about cleaning that up normally by, I would just hit it with compressed air and blow all the dust out of that heat sink. But here's the thing when you do that. Like you said, there's sometimes carpets on the inside of that heat sink. So when you hit it with the compressed air, what you basically just did is blow the carpet into the fan blades of your cooling fan, and that'll stop the fan from spinning, because now there's chunks in there rather than nothing in there. So if you do that and you see a lot of dust come out, it might be a good idea to take like a vacuum, like a hose, like on a wet dry vac, and turn the computer upside down, the laptop upside down, and just suck on right on top of that vent in the bottom of your computer. That there's should be only one or two vents. Just suck on top of that vent in a circular motion and just pull all the dust out that's just sitting there between the fan blades.
Good idea.
Yep, I had to do it many times. Worst case scenario, you got to open that computer up to get that out. So,
the joy time.
Okay, this is from, well, this one is, let me just put it this way. I got the impression from Podnuts Daily 256 that you believed that the .co domains were new domains released by ICANN. If I'm mistaken about that, you can ignore everything below. And then he goes to say, .co is just a top-level domain for the country Colombia, so .co itself is not particularly new. Yeah, I think GoDaddy was running a special on these, and I saw that on their homepage where they're pushing like, oh, get your .co domains right now. They're available. I thought that was like a new domain they were releasing instead of .com just to make more money, but not GoDaddy to make more money, even though that's what they would do. But I just thought they were releasing a new domain, but apparently I was wrong. .co has been around, and it is the top-level domain for Colombia. So
I haven't even seen that one yet.
Yeah, me neither.
Surprising. Huh. Well, there's a new one.
This is from Peter. He says, hey, Steve, I heard you mention system repair engineer. You said it was Britech Computer's product. And he says, it wasn't Brian that was doing the review on it. He said it's not a Britech product. Brian was just doing the review on it, but you can download it from his forum or download the same place Brian did, which is kztechs.com. I just thought I would clear that up. So, yeah, I think I mentioned system repair engineer, and I think I might have said Britech was the creator of it, and he's not. So Peter just cleared me up on that.
Hey, I've actually got the word of the day.
What?
Something you haven't heard in a long time.
What's that?
We are the administrators. If you're a network engineer, whatever the fancy politically correct term is, but back in the day, what was the word for a network engineer and a computer guy?
Wait. So you're saying administrators is the word now?
Yes. What is it back then?
What was it back then? System information technology person, the IT guy.
No. That's today.
Don't tell me. It was I have no clue, man. What is it?
The short name, the geek term was SysOp.
Oh, the SysOp.
Yes.
System operator.
Bingo. You got it.
I remember that.
They don't. They never even heard of it. No one doesn't know what a SysOp is.
Really?
Yes, nobody knows what that word is anymore. The only old school computer guys know that name now.
Yeah, good point. I remember that.
That's the word of the day by Little Geek Shop.
Word of the day. It should have been the word of the day 10 years ago.
My bad.
All right. This is from Brett. He says, I recently received a call from a customer who needed virus removal. She reported watching all of her emails and photos deleted right in front of her while not laying a finger on the desktop. I advised her to shut down her computer immediately and unplug her internet connection. When I arrived on site, I booted up her machine, which went right to Windows Vista repair option. I told her I would need to take the machine and can proceed with a virus removal. My first attack on viruses is always to remove the drive and put it in my Thermaltake Black X toaster. Now, he uses the word toaster, like I use the word toaster. It's basically one of those disk, those like SATA disk drive holders where you put it in like a toaster. So it's Black X, Thermaltake Black X. After hitting it, sorry, Jason.
Oh, no. I think the correct word was, I don't know.
For what? The toaster?
Yeah, the toaster. I think, God, I remember the name for him.
It started
docking station.
Docking station. That's it. After hitting it with the normal bombardment of super anti-spyware, malware bites, Trojan remover, AVG, Avira, and Hitman Pro, I removed nearly 250 security threats. I popped the drive back in the machine and booted it up normally. This time, things looked much better. I ran the same scans again with zero hits. All was well again, or so I thought. When I return the machine to the customer, I always like to boot. When I return a machine to a customer, I always like to boot up and show them that all is well. Only when I did, all was not well. The machine passed the post, but would not proceed further. So here I am with a supposedly clean machine that refuses to boot right in front of the customer. With pie on my face, I opened up the machine to reseat all of her cards. Another boot up. Another frozen machine. I open it up again and remember your tips about bad modems, video cards, or NICs causing problems. For some reason, I decided to disconnect a USB keyboard and mouse and try it. Upon receiving the no keyboard detected, please press F1 to continue message, I plugged in the keyboard, hit F1, and immediately disconnected the computer again. With the keyboard disconnected, the machine booted up fine. I plugged the keyboard in again, hit the Windows menu, and saw random characters being typed in the search box. When I disconnected the keyboard again, the characters stopped. After a quick trip to Best Buy and a new keyboard installed, the machine ran like new again, error-free from then on. Yeah. With computer errors and problems usually caused by malicious software nowadays, always remember to check the simple things first, even keyboards. That's from Brett from Steel City Computer Solutions. That's steelcitysolutions.net.
Bravo, Brett.
Good job, Brett. You figured it out. Well done.
Ashley, most people don't realize you have to have gas to start the car. That is
true. Well, I mean, it is odd the keyboard was working when he was there, right?
Yes, this is true. Number one, I'm trying to figure out with that statement in that email, why in the world would you want to run a virus scan on all... Okay, if he has an external docking station, wouldn't you have to have all the antiviruses installed on that computer to run the scan for all those antiviruses? And number two, as a technician, why would you install multiple antiviruses on one computer?
I think that he took it home to his bench computer, where that's where he does work on hard drives.
Okay, I was mislistening to the email.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. So when plopped the toast or the disk drive in the toaster, hooked it up to his bench computer, and this on his bench computer, he ran all those antiviruses on the hard drive.
And another thing, why didn't he not run some spyware, anti-spyware on there as well?
Oh, he did. He malware bites super anti-spyware.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
And, okay. And Hitman Pro.
I have pie in my face now.
Jason is at lilgeekshop.net. Definitely sign up for his giveaway, man. If you guys want a free copy of Super Anti-Spyware and TS Man, that's like definitely over $100 worth of software right there.
Ding dong. And I did some smooth talking. I love smooth talking. Yeah. It gets me stuff. Also, check out the link once I actually pass it along to Mr. Steve-O at podnuts.com. See, I messed up yours already. Okay, podnuts.com. Or .net. I think you bought both of them last time.
I don't know if I redirected it. I know I renewed .net. Go ahead.
I think you did. But you can check it out in the show links, the show notes. I'll be sending over the link to it where you can actually see the TS Man 2010 inventory demo. There'll be a link there where you can watch that video. So enjoy on that one.
Sounds good. As usual, Jason, I truly appreciate you doing the show free of charge.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you guys next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.